Good morning. My name is Mente Daniels, and I am OCBF.
Hello. I'm Tim Johnson. I'm the Director of Hospitality, and I am OCBF.
Hello. My name is Bruce Chambers. I'm a member of the Usher Ministry, and I am OCBF.
Hi. My name is Stevie Simmons.
And my name is Kitty Simmons.
And we are OCBF.
We just want you guys to know we're the Kidman family, and we are OCBF.
OCBF Kingdom Kids News you can use.
Lemonade, crunchy ice. Sip it once, sip it twice.
Oh my gosh, we're
this
filming right now.
This is such an awkward room.
For real, let's just get into it. I'm Kelsey.
My name is Nicole.
And this is news you can use.
So Kelsey, tell me, who's the new person we have joining our team today?
I think it's Gabriel. Where is he? He's supposed to be here.
Hi, I'm Gabriel.
Welcome to the team, Gabriel.
Thanks.
So great to have you.
What I like about OCBF Kids is their creative ability to teach the Bible to kids.
As a parent, I'm so grateful for the creative outlet for fellowship and learning about the Lord for my children through OCBF Kids.
Let's update everyone about what's going on at OCBF Kids.
On Wacky Wednesday, we had so much fun. We did trivia, games, science experiments, and watch parties.
On our weekend services,
we've been eyes spying how Jesus can change us.
And scooping out the blueprints to faith.
Where are you guys going?
We're moving.
Moving where?
Sundays.
At 12:30.
For who?
First through fourth graders.
And fifth through sixth.
I did not get that in my text or my email.
Did you check OCBF.org?
It says we're moving our Zoom calls to Sunday.
Oh, now I see it. Well, I better go back. See you guys there. So join us. Fifth and sixth graders meet on Sunday at 12:30 p.m.
Along with first through fourth graders.
And preschoolers, but they all have their different Zooms. Go to our website to learn more. Until next time, this is
news you can use.
Make it.
Make it.
Make it.
A great week.
Everyone, let's win.
Kingdom Agenda.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship service at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. We're so excited that you're here, both members and non-members from all over the world. We're excited to bring you in to the family of God here at our local ministry at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. And so we're excited to worship with you. We're excited to hear God's word so that we can internalize it and live it. We're excited to commune with you. So I wanted to remind you, before we jump into worship, to make sure you get your communion. That is your bread, your cracker, water, juice, whatever you can find around the house, because we are going to commune to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So we're excited to worship, and let's get started with our worship service right now.
Good morning, OCBF. Let's worship together one more time. I want to hear you guys sing out with all that you have. I think you know the song. Here we go. Say,
I can't believe that your love made me new. Yeah. I found everything that I'm looking for in you. Lost and afraid, but you called me your own. I'm never too far to be found. You're my home. Ooh, your love is ever reaching. This life has been won my heart, yeah. I was a
a part of your plan from the very start. All of the shame from my past fades away. Ooh, yeah. You know the depths of my heart. You still love me the same. Our hearts will cry these these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise.
If he conquered the grave, then this
nothing too great. Watch what He will do. Watch what He will do. Bring your passions,
every
bring your treasures, and lay them all lay down. Them all lay them all down at the empty tomb. At the empty tomb. And watch what He will do. Watch what He will do. If He conquered the grave,
there's nothing to pray.
Watch what He better get ready for revival, 'cause it's coming, it's coming. You better get ready,
get ready
for your miracle,
get
ready,
ready
for your joy. You better get ready for revival, 'cause it's coming.
As we continue with service this morning, I want to give you a few announcements to make sure you have it at the top of your mind so that you can connect to everything we're doing here at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. For those of you who are members, but also for those of you who are non-members as well, we want you to be able to connect in to all of the things that are going on. We have Wednesday night Bible study every single Wednesday night. Children start at 6:30 and adults at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we want you to be able to connect. All of the children, parents, you can register your children at ocbfchurch.org/children, and the youth can also register at youth@ocbfchurch.org to connect on our Wednesday night Bible studies. Now, not to forget the men, we have connected with Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers, OCBF, we've come together, so we want all of our men to get ready for the Promise Keepers explosion that's coming at the end of July and beginning of August. All of the men come together because it's time for us to become the men that God has called us to be, and you can connect. Me and my dad are a part of it. There's all types of strong, leading, speaking men that are going to be a part of it, and so you can connect at the Promise Keepers website at promisekeepers.org. PromiseKeepers.org, right now, you can go register for that. And it's going to be July 31st at 6 p.m. and Saturday, August 1st at 12 noon. So you want to make sure you get your sons, you get your uncles, you get your dads, you get your granddads, and everybody crowds in front of the TV, computer, whatever it is, so that you don't miss that powerful time. We have a whole lot of other things that are going on at the church, but we want you to get all of those at ocbfchurch.org/weekly updates. ocbfchurch.org/weekly updates. There's going to be a communion cup giveaway on July 28th where you can come to the worship center parking lot, and staff and volunteers will meet you there, and they will be distributing communion cups and act of kindness cards. And you can get more information on that at ocbfchurch.org/weekly updates. Also, we want to make sure that all of the parents know that enrollment is open for Kingdom Collegiate Academies. Kingdom Collegiate Academies, we're enrolling kids from 18 months all the way through 12th grade. And it's going to be amazing because we're working really hard to figure out how to train your kids, teach your kids, love your kids, and still grow them in the kingdom of God, even through this pandemic. So enrollment is open, and you can go to kcacademies.org/apply. You can go to kcacademies.org/apply right now to get your kids enrolled. Now, before we continue with our service, we're going to one of my favorite times of the service, and that is giving. Giving is an awesome opportunity where we get to give back to God that which He has given us. And so there are many ways that you can give at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Members, you know you can go to our website, ocbfchurch.org/give. You can go to our OCBF app and you can do your giving that way. Both members and non-members, you can text OCBF to 797979. Text OCBF to 797979 right now, and you can give to be a blessing to this local ministry as we continue to impact lives and impact the community. You can also mail in your gift to OCBF at 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas 75232. 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas 75232. Think about and pray about what the Lord will have you give as we continue to worship together.
Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love. sudden hurt. I don't deserve. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, 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 oh. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No, oh,
there's no wall you won't kick down,
no
wall you won't tear down,
coming after me.
Oh, 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 oh. No shadow you won't light up,
mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
A man went to his doctor and was complaining. The doctor said, "What's wrong?" The man said, "I'm hurting all over." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "From the top of my head to the tip of my toe, I am in excruciating pain." The doctor said, "Well, that seems odd." He said, "Touch your forehead where you're hurting." The man touched his forehead and went, "Oh!" He said, "Wow." He said, "Touch your chin." He touched his chin and went, "Ah." He said, "Touch your elbow." He touched his elbow and went, "Ooh." "Touch your knee." He touched his knee and went, "Ugh." And on it went. Every place he touched, he was in excruciating pain. The doctor looked at him and said, "You idiot, you have a dislocated finger." Sometimes, one thing can be wrong, but it messes up everything else. It may be only one problem, but it looks like everything is wrong. Well, Israel had a problem. His name was Goliath. You know the story well in 1 Samuel, the battle between David and Goliath. There is a spiritual principle here that I don't want you to miss. It relates to to all the aches and pains in your life, in your family, in your church, and even in your culture. We've got all these aches and pains of race, the aches and pains of police and community, the aches and pains of COVID-19, the aches and pains of racial calamity and strife. I'd like to suggest one thing is wrong. It's showing up in a lot of different symptomatic ways, but if we get this one thing right, maybe we aren't hurting as bad as we think we are because we've identified the cause and the cure for what's really ailing us. There is this giant called Goliath. He's described in 1 Samuel 17. He's called a champion. Why? Because he's never lost a battle. We're told that this man, he stood 9 foot 9. It's called in verse 4, 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 foot 9. This was an NBA coach's dream. He was full of body armor, like a 9 foot 9 offensive tackle, fully armored. And he was called the champion. He led a victorious army called the Philistines. Here's a giant with his posse. And there on the other side of the line of scrimmage were the Israelites. But when Goliath showed up, he controlled the atmosphere because the problem was so big. When you look at the atmosphere in our nation today, the problem looks undefeatable. When you look at how the virus is controlling all of our decisions on every level, it looks undefeatable. When you look at the divide in families, it looks undefeatable. When you look at the pain and the anguish of individual lives, it looks undefeatable. Well, that's what a giant does. It looks undefeatable, undefeatable. By a giant, I am referring to an obstacle in your life or in your world that looks undefeatable. In fact, I want you to give it a name. I want you to call it Goliath, because at least you know where it's liable to wind up. Let's look at Goliath a little closer. That is your obstacle, our nation's obstacle. Goliath created fear because we're told in verse 11 that they were greatly afraid. We're told in verse 24, Israel was greatly afraid. They were terrified by this problem. They were overwhelmed by this problem. This problem was too hot to handle and too big to defeat. Not only that, but this problem controlled their world because he threatened them. He told them, I defy the ranks of Israel in verse 10. I dare you. Come on with it. Let's get it on. You know, be froggish and leap. Ain't nothing between us but air. And I just sucked that up. What he's saying is, I'm the man and I'm going to control the environment. You know you're facing a giant because it just won't go away. Verse 16, the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. That's what a threat does. It just keeps coming up in your grill and it just won't leave you alone. And doesn't that look like the world we're dealing with today? It won't go away. The virus won't go away. The racial strife won't go away. The political conflict won't go away. No matter what news network you look at, it's all up in your face all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, 365 days, won't go away. That's because you're dealing with Goliath. You're dealing with the mammoth of a problem. Enter a teenager named David, a shepherd boy who comes on the scene. And he sees that Goliath is threatening the people of God. He sees that Goliath is calling the shots, that the folks who are wrong are calling the shots of the folks who are on God's side. He sees God's people being intimidated by the crisis at hand, by this giant and his posse. When David sees this, he has a problem with what's going on here. He has a problem that God's people are playing defense. He has a problem that the men of God were running away, because it says in verse 24, when all the men of Israel saw the man Goliath, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. God's people were running in the opposite direction. They had lost the offense. That's when this teenager, which lets you know you're not too young to make a difference, this teenager speaks. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to answer it in your mind before I give you a bibliocentric answer to it. What killed Goliath? We know that Goliath is going to lose this battle, but I want to ask you what killed him. Think about it. Meditate on it. Reflect on it. What killed Goliath? I know some folks are saying, well, slingshot killed him with the stone. Other folks, the real spiritual folks, they're saying, God, faith in God killed him. And you would be insufficiently right on both counts. In other words, you're right. He did use a stone and a slingshot. You're right. He did have faith in God, but you're insufficiently right if you leave out one other point. That point is found in two verses. When things are repeated in God's word, they are repeated for emphasis. In verse 26, the end of the verse, let me read the whole verse. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine, who takes away the reproach from Israel? Watch this. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. I'd like to suggest something I don't want you to miss that was the key to David's defeat of Goliath and your defeat of the Goliaths in your life, and the defeat of the Goliaths in our culture. It starts with having the right perspective. Perspective means a lot. Perspective is how you see what you're looking at, because a bunch of people can look at the same thing, can see the same thing, but not look at it in the same way. All of us will reference God, all of us who are even religious believe in God, but do we perceive him like he ought to be perceived? It reminds me of the story of the little boy was playing in the yard and his contact fell out. His contact lens fell out in the grass, he's looking for it. He goes 30 minutes, 40 minutes looking for this contact that fell out. He can't find it. Dejected, discouraged, he went to his mother and said, Mom, my contact has fallen out and I can't find it. She said, show me the area. She went out into all this grassy area, and in less than 3 minutes, she found the contact lens. The boy is stupefied. He's mesmerized. He wants to know, with all these weeds and grass and dirt, how could mama find in 3 minutes what he hadn't found in 40 minutes? He asked his mother, Mom, how could you do that? Well, she said, son, I don't think we were looking for the same thing. What do you mean, Mom? He said, well, you were looking for your contact lens. I was looking for $150. We weren't looking for the same thing. Our perspective changed what we were able to locate. I was looking for the money that had been invested in what you lost. I want to challenge your perspective. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who taunts the armies of the living God? Translation, that man has not been to the doctor. You follow me? He's an uncircumcised Philistine. Now, homeboy was 9'6", 9'9", somewhere right in that range, 6 cubits and a span. Everybody else was looking up here because the boy was so tall. David was looking down there and said, he ain't been cut. Homeboy has not been to the doctor. Now, why is that relevant in a battle? Because circumcision was the sign of the covenant. It was the sign that you were under the covering of God. Covenant is a covering in the Bible. God covered his people through the covenant. God has a kingdom program. God's kingdom is his rule. God's kingdom agenda is the visible demonstration and manifestation of God's comprehensive rule over every area of life, the individual, the family, the church, and even the civil society. The issue of the covenant is, are you covered by it? To be covered by it, you must be in it, and then you must operate underneath of it. Like the umbrella that covers you when it's raining, you are under the covering of the covenant. What God does in your life and in our world is tied to your relationship to the covenant. The covenant in Scripture is a divinely created relational bond. God operates his kingdom covenantally. That is, out of a relational bond. You must be in relationship with him while being simultaneously under the rule of him. There are many people who are Christians in relationship who are not underneath rule. It takes relationship and rule for you to be covenantally covered. So just talking the name God, all of these army of Israel was using the name God, but they weren't covered. That's why they're running from Goliath. We have uncovered Christians today, uncovered families who go to uncovered churches, and we most certainly are in an uncovered nation, and that's why we are fraying at all the edges, coming down to the nuclei of society. He says, that man has not been covered. In football, you know I love football, everything is related to the placement of the football. The line of scrimmage is where you place the football. The first down is, did the football advance 10 yards? A fumble is, did you lose control of the football? A field goal is, did the football go through the uprights? A touchdown is, did the football cross the plane of the goal? An incomplete pass is whether you were able to keep control of the football or whether your foot or feet were in bounds when you caught the football. See, that little pigskin, everything relates to it. You remove that thing and nothing else makes sense. What the football is to the football game, the covenant is to your battle and our battle. He says he is not undercover. He's not under the covenant of God. To be covenantally covered, you have to be in spiritual alignment, relationally and rule, both, pursuing an intimate relationship with him while simultaneously coming underneath his authority. I had a problem with my garage door. It wouldn't go up. I kept pressing all the buttons. I was pushing all the buttons, but the garage door wouldn't go up. I checked, it was plugged in. I went and tried to lift it up, but it was just too heavy. So I'm pushing the right buttons, it's plugged in, I'm using my human effort to lift it up, and nothing works, which means I'm stuck. I can't get the car out of the garage. I call the garage repair man. I said, look, I'm calling on you. Please deliver me from my stuckness, from my being trapped. Please come over and set me free. He said, well, before I do that, what would you walk to the garage door? I walked over with the phone in my ear. He said, look down to the left and the right. He says, you see those two square canisters? I said, yes. Which way are they pointing? I said, well, one is pointing at one of them, at the other one across the end of the door. The other one is pointing forward. He says, that's your problem. He says, they need to be facing each other. They're out of alignment. And because they're not facing each other, they're not talking to one another. And because they're not talking to one another, you don't have any power. Yet you have power, but they're not in alignment. So the power you have is not going to work for you. I adjusted the alignment and all of a sudden, voila, it's a miracle. My door starts coming up. Why? Because I was now in alignment. Even if you are a Christian, even if you are a Christian family, even if you are a Christian church and supposedly a Christian nation, if you are out of alignment, you can pray and call on God all you want. You can beg for his power, beg for his mercy. You can sing God Bless America. And it's not going to go anywhere because you're out of alignment. You see, we're operating out of alignment. We're operating on human opinion. Worst thing in the world is for the Bible to say what God says and then you say, "You, but I think." Because what you think is irrelevant once he has spoken. Let God be true and every man a liar, including government, including pastors, including people, including the definition of men, the definition of women, the roles in the home, you name it. When God has spoken, he has not stuttered. He was dealing with a physical problem, but he saw the spiritual reality. Let me say it again. If all you see is what you see, you do not see all there is to be seen. Everything visible and physical is always, did I say always, did I say always, did I say always preceded by something invisible and spiritual. So if you want to correct the visible physical, you must address the invisible spiritual. And if you do not understand or address the invisible spiritual, you will be ill-equipped to deal with the physical visible. We've got physical visible problems in our lives, in our land, all around us, but because we keep ignoring the invisible and spiritual, we do not have the root that deals with the fruit. We do not deal with the cause that can bring about the cure because we're not starting in the right place. You see, David saw the spiritual issue, which gave him the ability to deal with the physical problem. What is your Goliath, the thing in your life, your home? Whether it's the racial divide, the class divide, the cultural divide, whether it's you not being able to get along with you, maybe you are your own Goliath. Maybe you and you can't get along. Well, are you covenantally covered? Are you covenantally aligned? You say, but I'm a Christian. I hope you are. I hope you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A Christian is not a churchgoer. A Christian is not somebody who believes in God. A Christian is not somebody who reads their Bible. No, all of those are good. A Christian is someone who has recognized their sin, has come to Jesus Christ, acknowledging their inability to save themselves, and who throws themselves at the cross of the risen Christ, trusting him alone for the forgiveness of their sins and receiving from him the promised gift of eternal life. It's trusting Christ alone that brings you eternal salvation. So I trust you have come to Christ. If not, do that right now. Come to Christ for salvation. But once you are a Christian, you're in the covenant. But that doesn't mean you're operating underneath the covenant. I was on a trip one day and my son Jonathan was with me. And I went up there. I'm an executive flyer with American Airlines, and I asked, did they have any upgrades available? And so they said, yes. I said, well, I'd like a companion upgrade, because one of my benefits is somebody traveling with me can get upgraded with me if seats are available. I said, are there any seats available for a companion upgrade? They said, absolutely. I said, well, I would like my son, Jonathan, to upgrade with me. She went in her computer to upgrade us, and then she looked at me and she said, I am so sorry. I can upgrade you, but I can't upgrade him. Somewhat confused, I said, but you said you had two seats available. She says, I do, but I can upgrade you, but I can't upgrade him. I said, why can't you upgrade him? She said, because he's not covered. I said, but you said you had two seats available. I sure do, and I am eligible for a companion upgrade. You sure are, but I can't upgrade him, I can upgrade you. But how is that possible? She said, you weren't ticketed together. You were ticketed separately, so he's not covered by your ticket. He is your biological son, but when it comes to flying, he's not covenantally covered. See, he was my child, but he was uncovered when it came to the flight. You may be a Christian on your way to heaven, but you may be uncovered for heaven's help on earth because you're not relationally pursuing him while simultaneously operating underneath his covenantal rule, which means you're putting the spiritual ahead of the physical. And so until we take operating on God's covenantal covering, his kingdom program, seriously, then we will not see God intervene in the Goliaths in our lives. Well, David had had some experience dealing with problems. He said in verse 36, I killed a lion and a bear. So, bro, I can handle this. I'm going to handle you. Now, Saul tried to give David, if you read the chapter, he tried to give David his uniform. And David says, I don't know how to use that stuff. I know how to use a slingshot. I know how to use what God has given me. That's called methodology. Methodology. The Bible gives God's precepts and principles. The Bible leaves us flexible with methodologies. Because every method won't be the same for every situation. There are many times in the Bible where God will take one method here and another method there, but it's the same problem, but it's a different strategy. Why? Because God shifts his methodology. He, in football, he calls audibles. You know? In football, you have a rule book that applies to everybody, all teams, all players, all coaches. But then there's a playbook, that's methodology. That's gonna change from team to team, and it's even gonna change from situation to situation and circumstance to circumstance. Methodologies change. That's why you gotta be in relationship, because God may do something different tomorrow than what he told you to do yesterday. But if you're not in relationship with him, or you're not operating underneath him, you will not hear his voice. And you'll be forever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth, because God won't trust you with his manifestation and illumination. Because the Holy Spirit can't talk to you because you're too smart. We're too smart. You see, we're dealing with a nation and its people who become too big for their britches, too smart for themselves. Because we want to tell God what to do. We want to ask God to bless America when America refuses to bless God. He says, I can't use that, but I can know the method he's given me to use. So he comes out and he sees David. David, according to verse 40, approaches the Philistine. David approaches the Philistine. Did you hear me? David approaches the Philistine. That's called offense. No Christian should be living offense, living in defense. Oh, I'm trying to stop the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, the devil's so strong. Oh, that's nothing but the devil. Last time I checked, Jesus says, you have overcome the world. That means you're not playing defense. You got the ball because you're under the covenant. Says David went out to the Philistine. He went to the problem, not just discussing how bad the problem is. So the Philistine meets up with David, and the Philistine is insulted. Goliath is insulted. He says, you're a youth. You're a teenager. He says, am I a dog, verse 43, that you come to me with sticks, a slingshot? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Oh, that's what you want. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't do that. He started naming his gods and says, I curse you in the name of God. That's what you want. Wait a minute. David is fighting Goliath, but he gets Goliath to curse him in the name of his God. So what does Goliath do? He makes it a spiritual battle. He brings gods into it. He brings his God into it. What then does David do? David says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. So you got all your stuff. You big, you bad. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Wait a minute, but I thought he was taunting the Israelites. Not when you make it a spiritual battle, because everything visible and physical is preceded by something invisible and spiritual. So you want to do what a quarterback does. What does he do? He hands the ball off. He hands the ball off to the running back, and what does the defense do? It has to shift now. He hands it off. When's the last time you handed it off? Because you made it spiritual, not just physical, not just circumstantial, not just financial, not just health. You've handed it off. See, our culture doesn't know how to hand it off because it doesn't want to operate covenantally. Now, they'll say all the words, I'm going to give it to God. Not if you're not operating covenantally, which means you're operating bibliocentrically, you're operating spiritually first, not after you've done everything else and God is your, you know, he's your last attempt to fix it. No, he starts off, I'm coming in the name. Name doesn't mean nomenclature. Name means I'm coming under the authority of. You know what bringing God into a situation does? It supersizes your issue. You know, you drive up to McDonald's and they'll ask you, do you want to supersize it or do you want to settle for regular? Too many of us have settled for regular God, everyday God. And God says, do you want to supersize it? You see, he comes and he says, I'm coming to you. You come to me with your God. That's what I wanted. I wanted you to bring spiritual stuff into it because then I'm going to hand the ball off to my God in his name because I'm covenantally covered. You big, you bad, you're a lot older, you got a lot more experience, you got a javelin and a spear, you got all your stuff and you got your cronies. Yeah, well, let me explain to you how this works in the spiritual realm. But if you're not used to using the spiritual realm, if you've never seen God deal with the lion and the bear in your circumstance, then you won't know how to handle the Goliath that's trying and threatening to rip your world apart. And neither will our culture. Unfortunately, today we have too many spiritual forgers. They're forging God's name. That's an illegitimate use of a name. We're bringing God's name and the stuff he has absolutely nothing to do with. Why? Because we've ignored his person, his perspective, but we still use his name. That's a forgery. That's an illegitimate use of God's name. And by the way, God has over 85 names in the Old Testament alone because he's got a name for every situation. That's why he gives us all those names to let you know no matter what your situation is, there's a name that applies to it, a name for it. And there is an appeal. God's name is trademark. It can only be used legitimately. That is, if you want to see him back up the use of his name. And so, he comes. And he says, I come to you in the name of the God of the armies, of the God of Israel, Why is he coming in the name of the army? Why? Because he's in a fight. In a fight, you need an army, right? He understood there was a spiritual army behind the physical army and that the physical army would not have the last say. We don't know who we're dealing with here. We do not know who we're dealing with. We talk a good game, but we don't know who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the God of the army who has a host of angels who he can summon in a minute and turn things around on a dime. You want to see him get rid of COVID-19? You want to see him bring racial healing and a racial calamity? Then you need a God with an army, because God uses his army of angels through his army of people to conquer the armies of mankind who do not take him seriously. And so, he calls on this God, and he asks God to intervene, to turn the thing around. So I have a question I want to ask you today. What's your Goliath? What is that thing, that person, that situation that is looming large in your existence? What is that thing you need to overcome in your life, in your family, in your church? We all know what has to be overcome in our nation, don't we? Well, give it a name. Call it Goliath, because now you know it does fall. I love how the story ends. If you keep reading, he gets knocked unconscious, falls over. David takes his sword, chops off his head, puts his sword in his tent, gives his head to Saul so they can put it in a museum. So he got a sword on his shelf and he's got a head in the museum in Israel. Why? So that the next time Goliath shows up, so that the next time a fool shows up that's 9'6", all you got to do is look in the museum and look at the sword and remember what your God can do. If you and I will take Goliath seriously, he may make a lot of noise because he's big and bad and he got everybody scared, got everybody running away. Come on now, it's time to man up. God has got too many spiritual chumps, too many spiritual punks, too many spiritual people who talk a good game, but who will not abide by his standard for their decision making. And that's the proof. The proof is not do you praise him, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. That's not the proof. That's sweet, that's nice, that's cute, but that's not the proof. The proof is when you have to decide. Do you decide bibliocentrically, biblically, and covenantally, or do you just give the spiritual stuff? My granddaughter, oldest grandchild, Karis, when she was a little girl, she was all over my house and she was screaming. The dog was chasing her and it was barking. You know, the dog was going through all the barks that dogs do. So she was scared of the dog. She's a little girl. She said, "Poppy, Poppy, Poppy," that's the nickname. I run outside and she's scared of a dog. It's a little teeny dog. The dog wasn't all that, but she's a little girl, so she's scared and it's making a lot of noise. It's barking. So she's terrified. She jumps up into my arms, crying and heaving. She's heaving because she's scared. The dog is making a lot of noise and it's nipping. She hugs on me. The dog comes up to my leg and barks and growls. After a moment, she gathers herself together and she looks down at the dog, who's still making a lot of noise, and looks up at me. She looks down at the dog and then she looks up at me. She looks down at the dog and then she looks up at me. This last time she looks down at the dog and goes, "Na, na, 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 na." What happened to her? Where did she get this confidence from? Where did this ability of something that was terrorizing her no longer intimidate her. Where did that come from? Because she had wrapped her arms around somebody bigger than the problem she faced. And when she learned to focus on who was holding her rather than what was chasing her, it changed how she viewed her problem. I'm not here to suggest to you that there are no Goliaths. There are. I'm not here to suggest to you there are no challenges, because there are. I'm here to tell you that if you will gain the perspective of being covenantally covered, that your Goliath won't have the last say when God brings it down to its knees and demonstrates that greater is he that's in you and us than he that's in the world. And I don't know about you, but that ought to make you want to shout. That ought to breathe some confidence and some hope to your desperate, dire situation, no matter what it is. Please do not misunderstand me. Jesus said, in this world, you are going to have trials. Bank on it. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That means there's hope in the midst of hopelessness. Time for communion. Grab your communion, and why don't you let the Lord know that you want to be covenantally covered, meaning I want to come under your authority as I pursue a relationship, communion with you, not just in the formal communion, but regularly bringing you to bear on all of life, wanting to get you to know you better through your word, through reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and then utilizing it, responding to it. I want to get to know you better. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, let not the wise man boast of his riches, the mighty man boast of his strength, the rich man boast of his wisdom, but let a man boast that he knows me. I want to know you, but I also want to follow you, yield to you, submit to you. Communion is a recommittal to a relationship and to a rulership. So would you tell him now, Lord, you paid the cost to be the boss. You died on the cross for my sins. You allowed your body to be destroyed so that my body on earth could live and fulfill the purpose for which you have created me. Recommit yourself to him and to remind yourself that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Shall we eat together? Through communion, remembering his blood shed. That means you have access, because when he shed his blood, he gave you access to the throne of grace. You can bring anything to him any time of the day. He's got a 24/7 line. It's open to you right now. Bring your burden to him, because the blood has opened up that door. Shall we drink together? Father, we love you, we need you, we thank you, and we're going to follow you. Receive glory from your people as we give glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a great message this morning as we learn how to face those giants in our life, coming under God's rule and leaving those giants totally uncovered, because they are not under the covenant, we are. And so I'm excited to have that, because we're facing giants right now in our lives personally, in our nation, as a church, in our families, all over the place we're facing giants. And so we need to apply this so the giants can come crumbling and falling down. I'm so excited about our time this morning, and I can't wait to see you guys next week. Remember, OCBFchurch.org, Facebook, YouTube, and on our website. Come join us next week as we continue to learn, grow, and achieve together. Can't wait to see you.
Watch what he will do. Watch what he will do. If he conquered the grave, there's nothing too great. Watch what he will do.